I'm Tony. I'm with the San Francisco chapter of Homes Not Jails. This is Dee Allen.
Also with the San Francisco chapter of Homes Not Jails.
Food Not Bombs. And basically, as far as with squatting, in San Francisco, it's pretty much more necessity than it is down here in LA and down in Orange County in Southern California, because it gets colder up there. The nights get real cold. I've got the a lot of times they give out the disaster blankets, which are really suck. They're made of whatever.
They're usually made of dryer lint, composed from different articles of clothing. You can use these to cover yourself for warmth, but do not put them in the washing machine or the dryer ever, or otherwise it will fall apart. They have a sort of a breakaway action that way.
Yeah, they kind of get composed of whatever. I usually carry at least one or two of these for people who I'm squatting with, because not a lot of people have, not everybody have blankets and stuff like that. Sleeping bags are always good. First aid supplies are a must when you're squatting. When you're opening up your squats initially, you're going to look for your points of entry, which pretty much, if you're looking at an abandoned building, say like one of the buildings down the road, you're looking on your easiest, basically either clipping locks, going through windows. Those are some of the things that, you know, we do up in San Francisco. I've done it. I've opened over 550 something squats nationwide. That's not including Canada and Mexico.
Some buildings up north tend to have fire escapes on the very front of them. So those are very helpful tools whenever you're trying to enter an abandoned building.
Yeah, that's definitely easier. I mean, give somebody a boost. Somebody's not afraid of heights. You can get in that way. Sometimes, you know, just the quieter and the easier you get in, the better. Tools that you might think about carrying. Definitely you want your pry bars. I prefer small little ones, black, for stealth. I can drop them anywhere, in a bush and grass. And, you know, when you're going in, if you're inside the building, the worst that could really happen if you don't get caught with the tools is a trespassing charge. That's pretty much anywhere. If you have the tools, it's automatically going to a felony B&E here in California. That's pretty much how it is. If you get a decent cop that decides that they're just going to let you go because they know you're not doing any harm, then you're really lucky. I usually carry padlocks. I carry several kinds. Master locks, smaller ones, larger ones. When you're clipping locks with your bolt cutters, these smaller ones right here are 600-pound press, 24 inches. They fit pretty much in any small bag, or you know, you can throw them in your backpacks. If anybody's interested in cutting chains or locks, I mean, I've got it here if you're interested in trying. Screwdrivers, usually something like one of these little kits. They have the star screwdrivers. You can always open pretty much anything up with these. They have sockets, different size Phillips and flathead screwdrivers, extensions. You know, you pretty much can't do wrong with one of these, a crowbar, and a pair of bolt cutters.
If you can't find 24-inch bolt cutters, 30-inch bolt cutters will also do the job. And you also have to find a suitable case for one of those. Any duffel bag or, in some conditions, a musical instrument case will do the job nicely.
You also want to remember, when you get them bigger, the bigger your bolt cutters, what's going to happen is because you're going to be able to get more room to open up for locks. Sometimes you get those really thick locks that are about a quarter of an inch in diameter, sometimes even an inch. I've seen some pretty hefty padlocks. And then you've got your press, so you just pretty much open and close. Something that's always a good thing to carry, because you never know if your squat, if the lights or whatever has, you know, if there's lights on there, there's running water or anything, carry candles.
Carry candles only if the squat that you're opening or starting up lacks electricity.
Yeah. I mean, I carry a couple just to be on the safe side because you never know.
This is true.
Chains. You never have to buy chains. If you look anywhere in the city, you're going to find chains. Hey, if you want to rip somebody's bike chain, great, dandy. I mean, you can be an asshole about it. But usually you find chains sitting down on the ground somewhere. Just go ahead and clip them. If you got bolt cutters on you, why not? You know, the public property, and if it's not claimed by anybody, is open as far as I'm concerned.
Some cities tend to have these little laws on the books, depending on which city you enter. We'll have laws on the books where if you occupy a certain building for about 5 years that started out as a squat, you can gain ownership of it. In the case of New York City, I could be wrong about this. It could be 10 years.
In San Francisco?
It's called adverse possession.
Adverse possession in San Francisco, to go into better detail. After 5 years, if the landlord hasn't been paying the taxes on it, you can go ahead and pay the taxes up front. Adverse possession, it's yours. Okay? It goes no further than that.
You get ownership of it.
The landlord can't say shit because they ain't been paying taxes. You've been there, but you have to be there for 5 years or some kind of proof if it ever goes to court. As far as when you get into a squat, just basically do your padlocks. If it's like a building where you've broke a lock, I was actually going to get permission from you before to take the lock off the door just to kind of show everybody, but it's easy to explain. If you have to break a lock, what you could always do is inside there's a little metal casing. You can peel the you can take this little tin piece off, peel the casing off, drop out all the pins. Any key would work that fits the lock itself. You just go ahead and stick it in and turn it. Looks like a normal lock. Nobody ever has a problem with it.
A key as small and minuscule as even this could possibly work once you stick it in. And after that, one little casing is removed.
If it's a door like that or just anything, I always carry hosses to put padlocks on. Basically, when you're putting on a padlock, you want to line it up as best as possible. Carry an ink pen or a marker, preferably, so you can, if you have to, you can put the little dots on. And, you know, you don't need a drill. You can just use a little bit of elbow grease. Stick your screws in, it'll go right in. I do it all the time. You don't want to go ahead and change locks your first night. You want to wait a couple of nights. If you feel comfortable with your squat after you've gone in, what you can do is you can go ahead, change the locks on the buildings, like your front door. When the cops show up, I mean, hey, I got a key. You know, fuck you. Come up with a story. You know, so-and-so rented this to me. No, I don't have a lease right now. You know, we're doing it a month-by-month basis. Everybody is staying in your squat. Make sure they know the same story. If you know somebody's a wussy and they're going to fall if the cops are going to come and they're going to say, oh, my God, you know, I you know, yeah, we're in this place. We're illegal, da-da-da-da.
That's a person.
Don't let them in there.
Yeah,
don't
that's
let
a person them in. Worth removing or just don't let them in.
I don't know. I had literature, but we ended up leaving it back in San Francisco by accident, and I was unable to download it offline. Anybody who wants literature on like guides to new squatters, how to break into locks and stuff like that. Well, breaking into locks, you can pretty much go to your public library, look up locksmithing or something, and check that kind of stuff out. Here in LA and Orange County and all that, what you want to do is you want to check your local laws on trespassing and all that. If you've got warrants or you've got you know, other stuff, or anybody has any questions on that, I'll answer them, or Dee will answer them or whatever. When you're opening a squat and you're checking out your building, okay, I like to use lantern lights or little mag lights, anything with double A's, because you can pretty much, if you need to, you can use your flashlight like this. You're sitting in there playing cards, drinking a beer, sitting there smoking a cigarette or whatever. You've got a little light. It's enough. It does what you need. that's pretty much, oh, walkie-talkies. When you're checking out the building or whatever, if you have somebody on the corner or somewhere, you can turn around and take on your walkie-talkies. I mean, anybody with a walkie-talkie that has to the same frequency that you're on, you can pretty much pick it up, but you can talk to each other, you know, and you can communicate and say, okay, hey, look, the cops just went by, da-da-da-da. They look funny, you know, you guys need to get out of there and get in the back, you know, and get out of the building. Or when you're in the building, you can communicate, hey, look, you know, a certain sort of room looks really cool, and, you know, or there's a big hole in the floor, and, you know, this building looks like it's going to fall apart and you're going to die. First aid supplies, you know, Neosporin, Band-Aids, bandages, gauze, tape,
Tylenol,
stuff like that.
Advil, that sort of thing.
Some kind
or
of
if you could possibly get it, Vicodin.
Yeah.
Another thing you can also get as far as getting flashlights, walkie-talkies, and that, radios, etc. Always stock up on batteries. If you know you're going to stay at the squat long-term or whatever.
I mean, I've got like a shitload of extra batteries in there, double A's. I mean, if anybody's got any questions, I know we kind of was moving on with this. It's towards the end of the day. And
anything on the philosophy of squatting? Why is it justified to squat? Isn't it about manifest destiny? You know, that they're not using the building, so somebody should be using it.
It's vacant property. It's there, especially if it's city property. It belongs to the people. I mean, I'm Native American and Italian. I believe, you know, hey, my family was here a long time before these people were here sitting there with these stupid rules. And, you know, as far as if it's there, you need a place to stay. Nobody's using it. Vacant city property belongs to the people. You pay taxes whether you have a job or whether you're going into a store buying a pack of cigarettes. You're paying taxes in one form or another. You are a citizen. You're a taxpayer regardless of the fact. Fuck it. It's there. Open it. Take it.
I mean, they used the same philosophy to move off the Native Americans. You know, they said they weren't using the land, so it's their own philosophy.
Mm-hmm. This could be applied to the whole urban gentrification thing, too. They displaced the people who have been in the neighborhood before this high-wage or owning class occupying force comes in, forces them out.
Doesn't provide
low-wage housing, rebuilds or restructures the place, sells it for a higher price to people in the same tax bracket as they are, thereby making it available only to rich folks, which sucks.
Then anything on when you're in the squad, it looks like you lock yourself in. And I've heard of people going to the second floor and blocking off the first floor. I mean, is there any way I can get a solar panel in one of these squats? Can I get a laptop in there let people use it somehow?
If you can check your squat, because most of the time it's usually just as simple as turning on, as far as like lights, gas, and power. Sometimes it's as simple as flipping switches. Sometimes you have to get into electrical work. Sometimes you just have to flat out. If you feel comfortable with your squat and you're like, okay, hey, I don't think this place is going to get busted, get the paper delivered. Call up and turn the fucking electricity on in your name. You know, it gives you, yeah, water delivery, turn on the water.
This is the best way you can attain squatter's rights legally. In San Francisco right now, nobody can attain squatter's rights there, but the best way to attain it is to have a utility account, gas, water, electricity opened in your name.
What's the longest amount of time you've squatted in any single
room? I've squatted in a building in the Japantown sector of San Francisco for 2 months.
Usually, I mean, even when I had apartments, I still did stuff like this. I mean, apparently if I've done over 500-something squats. but usually I stay about 3 months, and I've left my squat, and it's still been open. I've known squats that I've opened. I've got one right now that's been open, actually several, but one that actually has families in it with kids that's been open for about four and a half months now. And I know a few squats other places in the country that I still get emails from friends of mine, and one's been open for 4 years. So, I mean, it just depends on if, you know, how you run your squat, who you let in, who you let know where it is. and how you present yourself to the people around you, mm-hmm. in the neighborhood.
Yeah, get to know the neighborhood, but while you're establishing a squat, get to know the neighborhood. Go in it during the day. Check the place out. See what the neighbors are like. And if you interact with them, just act natural.
Can you talk about some of the methods used to different, maybe a couple of different, I don't know how to use the word models, but ways people have organized themselves and have squatted that you kind of know that you're more
Well, my tactic pretty much is go in. What do you mean as far as opening the squat and maintaining it? One that I hear frequently and I use very often is go into a squat, clean it up, get the paper delivered. I mean, you can jump the gun if you want to jump the gun. I mean, it's a trespassing charge at the worst. You know, and they have to ask you to leave. If you've got keys and you've got utilities in your name, you've got a leg to stand on. Especially when you're doing something like that, the best thing you can do is go down to your local courthouse or anything. Nobody ever asks any questions. Go down to the Hall of Records or the tax proprietor's office or whatever. Just go in and check out the property, see who owns it, what owns it, you know, if it's a company. Look for signs of that it's vacant. You know, how long it's been vacant. Okay, an old newspaper might be there. Newspapers might be there from 6 months to a year before.
Yeah, you can even find old mail stuffed in a mailbox or in the doorway. If you're going inside of a building with a little mail chute installed inside the door, you could find, like, window. You can look inside the window and see the rooms that are, like, brutally empty. The yard will have, like, shrubs that are overgrown, vines, grass is overgrown, and so forth. He also mentioned something about going inside of a squat and cleaning it up. That is, or even doing little minor repairs to make sure the plumbing works, the locks on the window are working and everything. That's called sweat equity.
Yeah, if you want to steal your utilities, I mean, you're going to run into more problems. Then just go ahead and, you know, be resourceful. You know, you're not there, turn your lights off. You know, go ahead and put in your name, panhandle or work, and get the couple of bucks to pay the bills. It's going to work out a lot better in the long run. It's going to look better on you, and you have more of an opportunity and more of a leg to stand on than if you're just stealing your electricities and sitting in the squat and wasting money.
Weapons are
a no-no.
I mean, what do you do? You can't have, like, four girls do a squat or whatever. I mean, what do you do about
a squat and a squat and a crack house are two completely different things.
Well, what I do is, I mean, I have a little policy. I break it very few times. I personally smoke pot. I mean, I have cancer. I smoke pot. That's a given. I have no problem with admitting that on open air or anything else. I mean, I've told cops in their face, I offer cops pot when they walk up and see me smoking it. And I refuse to get a cannabis card, which makes it legal to smoke the pot. I ask people flat out before we go to open a squat, do you have any drugs on you? If they tell me they don't, then pretty much I'll take them at their word. If I find out that they have something on them, I'm really going to be pissed off. In San Francisco, if you have under an ounce of pot, then they pretty much can get you on just a simple possession. More than likely, it'll get thrown out of court. With me, it'll be more than likely get thrown out of court. Anything over an ounce, they're going to get you with possession with intent to sell. You're looking on felony charges, and you're fucked. You're looking on major charges. You might get probation, you might get community service, you might get fines. It just depends on the judge, it depends on the DA. Anything hardcore like heroin, crack, meth, anything like that, you're looking definitely on going to jail and everybody around.
So it's the police you're more worried about than transients or
well, no, I don't like the transients and everything else is another thing because you gotta the people that you're in there with. You know, especially if you're maintaining a really nice squat, you got to watch out, because I had an incident where I was in a squat and I squatted it for a month. It was opened up prior by Homes Not Jails, and basically people that were passing through town got wind of it. They were passed a key. They passed it off to somebody else. I come home one night to my squat, and I've got like 12 people, 13 people sitting in there. Another night, I've got 16. They decide to make it their party house. So I'm pretty much stuck on this, and then end up getting a squat busted. Then they decided to kick in the door and hostile takeover. So you really got to watch who you're doing stuff with.
Exactly. The fewer persons you have inside of your squat, the better.
Now, go alone?
You could go alone if you want.
I mean, the whole purpose of Homes Not Jails and the whole purpose of a squat, in my opinion, is if there's a need for housing, affordable housing in any form, whether it's a squat or whether it's low-income housing or anything. I don't consider SRO or...
Single-room occupancy hotel room.
Or any kind of hotel housing. You know, they usually dumps. They're disgusting. They smell bad. They're really unsanitary. And they're, you know, you can get your room broken into. You know, it's fucked. But, you know, if you go in there and you're cool about it, I mean, if you got people that want to do heroin or whatever, they go in there and they, you know, once you've had your squat established, you know, you pretty much can do more, like drinking your squat and stuff like that.
Yeah, each squat is autonomous. I mean, once you go in, it's up to you which way you want to organize it.
Hold meetings in your squats.
Hold a house meeting at least once a week just to see where everybody is at. If they agree on repairing the place, cleaning it up or not.
You know, letting people stay. I usually don't have a problem with who I let in, but if I get a bad vibe off of it and I don't like the person or they just freak me out for some reason, I won't let them come. I'll put them in a different squat, or I'll tell them, hey, look, you know, worst case scenario, you can go to a drop-in center for a couple hours and till daylight hits, and then, you know, we'll open a squat for you tomorrow. Or I pretty much got something that's, oh yeah, okay, I know one is right now, it's crack house. I mean, you want to smoke crack? Okay, there it is. You know. But it's pretty much, it's up to the individual staying in the squat. And, I mean, a lot of people say consensus, which everybody agrees. I mean, all honesty, consensus sucks ass, okay? You know, not everybody is going to totally agree with everything all the time. You can have a majority rule, or you can have, you know, just whatever you decide to come up with. I mean, but I personally don't like hardcore shit in the squat, because when you get busted, that's going to make all the difference as to what's laying around and how clean and how nasty the place is.
And that's when the cops decide to look upon squatters as criminals, which is something that we're trying to prevent.
I know New York has had a long history of squatting. Can you talk about what's going on in San Francisco right now?
San Francisco right now... there's a politician up there called Gavin Newsom. He's
a Democrat. And a local wine merchant.
He's a quasi case Republican. I'll be flat out to say it. He's got laws that are coming out that are trying to make panhandling and everything illegal. They're basically right now in San Francisco. They're making it illegal to be poor or homeless. For squatters, they're making it harder because, you know, they're checking out places, and, you know, if they get wind of something, you know, more than likely they'll go in and bust it, you know. And they'll actually call the owners to try to make, you know, find out.
On the average, a squat in San Francisco these days, ever since Gavin Newsom decided to throw his hat in the ring as a mayoral candidate, the average that a squat stays open will be like maybe 2 weeks on the average.
I mean,
2 weeks at the most.
That's and when you got to understand, that's because of the people that are in it. I mean, I've kept squats a lot longer. You know, I've still got squats that are open throughout the East Bay and throughout San Francisco, just because it's very isolated as to who has the information. I mean, D's like a brother. He's my best friend, and he doesn't even know where this one with the families are at. And it's not because of him. It's because of it was a decision that was brought and come when I talked to the families that are there. I'm always welcome. You know, I mean, there's not really any room, and I really wouldn't want to stay there all the time, but or at all. But I mean, it's the fact that it's just you have to decide and make a choice as to who goes there and who doesn't. And you know, don't let everybody know, because then they start telling their friends, and their friends tell their friends, and I mean, is there any other questions? Anybody want to try cracking any locks or chains or?
Any comments on LA specifically? I thought there's a different they have a different attitude toward homeless people than
in San Francisco.
Yeah, than most any places. Like way back from the Okies when they were coming here, you know, during the Depression, they have like different laws here with the homeless.
Yeah, here it's really surprising, because I mean, in LA, I mean, they cops let the homeless encampments be. You know, they let the cardboard boxes be. In San Francisco, I used to work with a group, and I know this is me on radio, so I really don't care, called the Coalition on Homelessness. They do some good things, but to be honest with you, a lot of the stuff that they're doing is
drawing more attention to themselves than anything else.
And is making it harder on homeless people than it, you know, than it needs to be. The police are cracking down on the homeless. They're moving them away from where they were hanging out, and they were being basically harmless. They fuck with them any chance they can get. They really screw with the homeless there. They make it illegal to be poor or homeless. I mean,
you
if you're sitting on the sidewalk,
under a bridge, you can't sleep in the subway. Encampments get broken up, and the people in these encampments get harassed by the cops hardcore. There's like a law in the books called Section 647J.
Illegal lodging. You get three of those, you do 6 months in jail. I mean, it's hardly enforced. I mean, they enforce it. They basically give you the 647J ticket. And what happens is that after three, they can lock you up for 6 months. I mean, I've seen people with 15 or 30 of them, and over a period of time. And I mean, they just hand these out because they know what certain groups and organizations, what tickets they'll help with. And a 647J is a misdemeanor, so the public defender's office can deal with it. But the public defender's office does not know how to deal with them well. And most of the time, I mean, if you get a ticket up there, basically just take it to ask for a trial by jury. I had a Muni ticket for not being able to provide proof of payment. I'm going to take it to a jury trial. You know, more than likely they'll drop it. If they don't, oh well. Yeah, I'm not going to pay it. I mean, fuck, I'm homeless. I'm dying. Hell, you know, what are you going to do?
This shows me right here that the supposedly most liberal city in the USA is turning into this one big fat seemingly conservative battlefield of sorts. It's like a constant everyday war on the poor. And our organization is like not exactly a big buffer to stop it completely, but we're stopping like one part of it. There's lack of affordable housing up there. In fact,
affordable housing in San Francisco is $900 for a studio.
Yes, and about for one bedroom apartment, it's $1,350 on the average. For a two bedroom apartment, it's close to $2,000.
I mean, you can find decent deals every now and again. I see one bedroom for like $950, and I called up, the apartment was taken, and when I seen that it was a one bedroom, when I heard that it was a one bedroom, it was only $950, I about already had an orgasm, because I just don't see that in San Francisco. I mean, I'm like, shit, this is, you know, this is almost as bad as New York.
Minimum wage up there?
Is $6.75 per hour, but we just put, but another organization that I work with along with several others called People Organized to Win Employment Rights, or Power, if you will, and managed to go out into the street and rustle up to 26,000 signatures. Our original goal was 16,000, but we've superseded that much, times 10. We had more than enough signatures to get it passed on the ballot in the form of a minimum wage ordinance for this November's election. We moved to have it increased up to $8.50 an hour, which is still not enough, but it's a start.
It's not enough to afford $900.
No, you have to make $35 an hour practically to have. You have to have my old Illinois job working with a computer firm and dealing with military contracts to go ahead and to be able to afford that.
Even for working people, middle class or working poor, this is why it's necessary to squat.
You know, I'm all for it.
Have you ever, been involved in taking over empty lots?
Land occupations?
Yeah.
No, land occupations would be more for people who are housed in their vehicles. Vehicular houses is what a lot of them like to be called. There's really no purpose in somebody who doesn't have a vehicle to take over a lot, for the simple fact is you're trying to get out of the cold and you're trying to get out of the weather, and you know you're trying to not get fucked with by the cops. If you're in a parking lot or something or a vacant property, just sitting there out in the open, you know, that just totally defeats the purpose.
So what about the garden, squatting into the garden?
Oh, like clean it up and plant stuff. I mean,
gentlemen, who recently looked, taste this house and all the others in the road. In the interest of humanity, we found a better place for you to go. Go roam, go roam.
That's right, and don't you forget it when you get there. If you say hello and they say hola, remember, you're in New York now. They call Amsterdam Avenue La Avenida de Amsterdam. They call Broadway the big one. And they call St. Nicholas Santa Claus. That's another joke out here. This is our last ology tour. This is the last year of our series of ology tours. We've been on an ology tour ever since the beginning of the 90s because you need an ology. If you ain't got no job, you really need an ology. Because what you do is you put ology on the end of what you like to do. And you open up an office and you become a consultant. That's right, you get to whatever front door. You get to pass out cards and shit. You get to feel all important. You get at least two appearances on CNN. But CNN, the only network in the world, never happened before in the history of mankind, they can bring you an expert. Think about this. That's why they have CNN. So you can see some much you don't believe. This has never happened before in the history of mankind, and here's a mouth expert. Where he did his research. How long has he been waiting? That's the question. All ologies started with the first ology, and they simply used to call that one the ology. Because when you don't have but one something, you call it the. So they started off with theology, and everybody thought that one was all right. And they ran it for a while. And then things became commercial. And theology became put on radio, they called it radiology. And then they put it on television, and they called it televangelism. And one of the world's best known representatives of theology came on television and said, he had seen God. That'll stop your channel surfing. A lot of folks had heard from God. A lot of folks had talked to God. Here's a man standing around talking to a rock calling me drunk. But this man said that he had seen God. And that God told him to raise $8 million. God was broke, making me feel a whole lot closer to God than I ever had before in my life.
Tell it like it is.
The man said God told him to raise $8 million or come to heaven. Now, in certain neighborhoods, they might refer to that as divine extortion. Being a theological point of view, we just said it was options. Personally, I would not have raised my hand. I would not have raised my voice. I would have asked him, do I have time to pack my head? Raise $8 million or come to heaven. How long have we been planning and trying and working and pleading to go to heaven? This man raised the money, which left us with another question. If he met God and he did not want to go to heaven, what are we doing? You will find while working in the ologies that you have a problem you can hardly get around. It is called the English language. I found out I did not speak English the day I arrived in England. I took English every year. Every year they had school, they give me English. 8th grade, 9th grade, 10th grade, 11th grade, I went to college, they said English. I said, I know this. Why do they keep on giving me English? You don't know it. That's why. The man said, Mr. Scott Harris, do you need a business with it? I said, oh, it's English. I just be the word. They're trying to change English so that Americans can understand it. They take two words and opposite one another, jam them together, make one word, don't mean nothing. Take, for example, melodrama. You don't know how to act. Smoke a joint, it's just that. They have a civil war. What's the point? You go hide behind that rock, I'll be shooting in a minute. You know where the Civil War? The sheepdog and the wolf. They both punch a clock. Good morning, Ralph. Morning, Sam. All day long, wolf try to steal the motherfucking sheep, right? The end of the day, they gotta go home. Good night, Ralph. Good night, Sam. That is a Civil War. Do women still go every 3-4 weeks to get what they call a permanent? I don't want to be the one. But that's not permanent. Sometimes you don't even ask them to get home. They don't like it. What is this? Mess it up again. My wife, first time she told me she wanted to go get a permanent, I said, hey, go ahead. Bring me one. But I ain't got the paper on the once, buddy. I am in the field of bluesology. It is the science of how things feel. It relates to other fields and interconnects. In particular, it connects to the weather. You used to be a weatherman. Back in the day, the news was only 15 minutes long. At some point during the broadcast, the man said, what do you think, Joe? Joe runs to the window, look out, said, look like it's going to rain. That was the forecast. Joe was the weatherman. But nowadays, technologically speaking, we have expanded. News is half an hour. They do not have a weatherman anymore. They have a meteorologist. That's how that ologist makes you some money. Do you think he has a meteor? Do you think the meteor tells them what to run on? You think he has a talking rock? He brings you statistics. He says there's a 50% probability of rain. It may rain, it may not. Bring back Joe. The weatherman is now a meteorologist, and the meteorologist, three-piece suit, blow dry hat, and smile so much your face here. Point is just saying, little rain over here, little snow over there. They have only one meteorological statistic that is valid, and it's called the wind chill factor. The wind chill factor tells you how it feels, and that's when you get your bluesology. We'd like to show you a couple of things in bluesology. Please take it easy to Brother Ed Brady on the guitar. Yeah. Let's play Carl Goodman on the drum here. Yeah. Let's play Bob McGregor on the bass. Yeah. Roy Coyote, People Smugglers. Bonita, the Brit, the Brown, they pay to immigration. Sueños, this is a song about dreams. Midnight near the border, trying to cross the Rio Grande, yeah. Running with coyotes to where the streets are paved with gold. Diving underwater when you hear the helicopter. Lord, it's all been less and worthless if you see the border patrol. Yeah.
Yeah.